Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 through 12. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
Well, good morning, Peace Church. And for those of you joining us online, good morning. My name is Pastor Ryan. I'm one of the pastors here on staff at Peace Church. Welcome this morning. Hey, a couple things, a couple house cleaning items before we get going this morning. Number one, you may have noticed the worship center has gotten a fresh coat of paint. But even more important than that for me is you may not notice this, but we've got new lighting. We've installed LED lighting here at Peace. And I just want you to know that these lights are going to pay for themselves in 4 months. And then after that, they're going to save the church over $3,000 a year in energy bills. So that's $3,000 that we can put towards the mission of God here at Peace Church. So I'm pretty excited about that. I don't know if you get geeked out by that stuff like I do, but there you go. I also want to say thank you to everyone who has sent me some sort of drinking from the hose picture or meme. If you are just joining us here at Peace Church, we're in the midst of a sermon series called Drinking from the Hose and the True Meaning of Blessing, and it's been awesome throughout the summer. People have been sending me pictures of them or the kids or grandkids drinking from the hose. They've sent me some pictures they found online, and this is why we had a little fun with our sermon series title, so that you would have something to prick your memory throughout the summer and to be reminded of God's blessing throughout your life and throughout the summer. So thank you for those of you who've been sending those have been fun to see. And while the summer is winding down, I have one last bit of great news that I want to share with you. Pastor Adam, our senior pastor, will be back preaching next week. You guys excited about that? Yes. Amen. Glad a few of you are, at least. All right, Peace Church, let's get to it. Would you please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verses 10 to 12 today. That is found on page 1029 if you want to use the Bibles that are in the racks around you. This passage today really concludes the section of Scripture that we've called the Beatitudes, that church history has called the Beatitudes for a long time. The Beatitudes are these blessings that Jesus describes as he describes the character traits of those who are to follow Christ. Throughout this series, we've seen how Christians are to be poor in spirit, how we are supposed to be meek, how we're supposed to be pure in heart, how we are supposed to hunger for righteousness. Last week, Pastor John taught us how we are supposed to be peacemakers. But there is another very sobering characteristic that is meant to mark the lives of those who follow Christ: persecution. So let's read what Jesus has to say about it. Please follow along as I read Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 to 12. Jesus says, Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Amen. I don't want to talk about today's message. I don't want to talk about today's topic. I'm sure you don't either. It's summertime. We're in the midst of a sermon series with a funny title called Drinking from the Hose. We're talking about blessing. I don't want to talk about this. And I'm willing to bet many people here don't. Persecution. Who would want to talk about this? See, but we must talk about this because Jesus talks about this. And we have to reflect on everything that Jesus has taught us. So let's pray over our passage, and then we will sink our hearts into the words of Jesus here. So would you pray with me, please? Father, please be with us this morning, working in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls, that we may not only understand persecution, but that we'd be ready for it, and that we'll stand firm when it comes. I pray that your Holy Spirit would work through me, a broken clay pot, that I might have something to say that is of any value to those who are here, something that is of encouragement to those when we face persecution. And we pray that by the preaching of your word, Father, that you will be glorified and that we, your church, may be edified. It's in Jesus' name that we pray these things. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's try that one more time. And all God's people said, amen. See, we must be prepared for persecution, not just because the culture is turning, but because as we turn the pages of Scripture, we are told it's coming and that we must be ready. But Peace Church, I'm concerned that many of us are not ready. That we're not concerned about it, that we don't believe that it will ever happen, let alone to us. And so when it comes, I'm fearful that many people, their faith will dry up and be the first thing to go. Many Christians are familiar with a parable that Jesus told us called the parable of the sower. And Jesus tells this parable. It's about a farmer. He goes out and he plants some seed and he's scattering the seed. And he talks, and Jesus talks about the different types of soil that the seed falls upon. And Jesus tells this parable to make a point. He's talking about how the seed is actually the word of God. It's the gospel. And that Christians and preachers and pastors, we scatter, we share the gospel broadly. And Jesus tells about the different types of soil to point to the different types of hearts that receive this word, that receive the gospel. And so, Jesus talks about four different types. He talks about seed fall along the path. And he said the seed that falls along the path, what happens is that the birds will come and they'll snatch the seed away before it has any chance to take root. And Jesus says this is like the hearts who hear the gospel, but the devil comes and he takes away the message before it has a chance to take root in anyone's life. Jesus also talks about seed that falls along the rocky soil. And the rocky soil, because it's rocky, the seed can't, the roots can't go that deep. That the roots are very shallow. And Jesus says, these are the types of hearts that hear the word, they receive it, but because their roots aren't deep, as soon as they face trial, tribulation, and persecution, their faith dries up. Jesus also talks about seed that falls among the thorns, and that the crop grows up among the thorns, but the thorns choke the crop. And what Jesus is saying is that this is what happens when people grow up and their faith develops and they deal with the worries of this life. That the worries of this life just choke their faith so that it cannot produce a crop. Then, of course, Jesus talks about the seed that falls along the good soil. And in the good soil, the seed goes and produces much bountiful crops. See, I think in the church, we talk a lot about the thorny soil. And we talk about how to guard our lives against worry. That we're people who deal with worry, and so we can't be growing our faith among the thorns. And we say things like, turn your worry into worship. And that's an important conversation. And it's a good one that we should have. But here's the one that we're not having. The one about trial and tribulation. See, the rocky soil is a soil that doesn't get talked about. And I wonder if that's where most of our faith is planted. See, I think there are people who assume that they are the good soil, that their faith is strong. And see, we think we are in the good soil because, you know, we're good people and we go to church and we don't do bad things and we bring our kids to church and maybe we give a portion of our tithe, or we give a portion of our money in a tithe. And we think that we're good people, therefore we think that we are in the good soil. But we are people that so many of us, we are unknowingly growing our faith in the rocky soil. And as soon as persecution comes, our faith will dry up because our faith isn't that deep. And it's not that deep because it's a faith that's built simply on a belief system and behavior modification, rather than a faith built on the bond that they have with God through his son Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit. So listen to how Jesus describes the rocky soil in Matthew chapter 13, verses 20 to 21. Jesus says, "As for what is sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but he endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arise on account of the word, immediately he falls away." I need you to ask yourself, are you living in the while? He says that his faith endures for a while. Are you living in the while? Is your faith just strong because it's in the while? Because it hasn't faced persecution? Because it hasn't been put to the test? Are you a Christian simply because it's easy to be one? Because at some level in our culture, it's still acceptable. See, if you look at the Beatitudes, these blessing statements of Jesus that we've been studying, all these characteristics that Jesus gives are internal and spiritual qualities. But here in verse 10, Jesus takes a turn, and he says that this is the only beatitude that Jesus mentions where this is something that is done to us. It's like Jesus is saying with all the other blessings, this is what a Christian is to be like internally, but with this one, it's like Jesus is saying this is what a Christian can expect in their life. And so we're going to talk about persecution, and we're going to come at it from three different angles this morning. First, we're going to look at the place of persecution in the lives of Christians. We'll look at the first verse. Second verse, verse 11, we'll talk about the pain of persecution experienced by Christians. And we'll wrap it up by looking at the promise of persecution given by Jesus in verse 12. So first, the place of persecution in the lives of Christians. Jesus says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." See, we know there are many forms of persecution happening in this world. Many different types of people who are being persecuted. Jesus is not giving a blanket statement here that covers everyone who is experiencing persecution. Persecution by itself isn't a blessing from God. He says those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. So leaning on the help of Martin Lloyd-Jones, we're going to take a moment and we're going to clarify what we should not be persecuted for. Christians, we should not be persecuted, firstly, for being difficult people. See, we are mandated to live peaceably with the world around us. We are meant to be light in this world. So don't confuse light with fire. See, light is given so that we can see the room, but fire consumes the room. It burns it down. We are meant to be light, not fire. You can't go around being unkind and bullheaded to people and then cry persecution when they hate you for it. We are meant to be people of humility and gentleness. We shouldn't be persecuted for being fanatical people. Number two, for being fanatical people. In our world, we need to be wise and we need to be savvy in how we present ourselves. We can't come across as opinionated and pious fanatics. We are meant to be ambassadors for Christ. That means with whatever we do and say, when people look at us, when they hear us, when they see us, they should see a reflection of Jesus first and foremost. We are meant to be ambassadors of Christ. Listen, I will gladly bear the name Jesus freak, but I don't want to be a religious fanatic. We are meant to impress the gospel on the hearts of people, not impress our opinions in order to prove a point. Let me explain this next one for a moment, number three. We are not supposed to be persecuted for being good people. We need to grasp the difference between goodness and righteousness. See, Doctors Without Borders are good people. Standing up for the marginalized is a good thing. Fostering and adopting kids is a good thing. People who care for animals are good people. Christians can give their lives to these things without experiencing persecution. See, goodness calls us to be the best of ourselves, but righteousness calls us to be something different. It doesn't call us to be better, it calls us to be different. See, the world loves goodness, but it hates righteousness. Because righteousness is something else entirely. Jesus doesn't commend the goodness in us. He calls us to righteousness. And when we are persecuted for being different or being righteous, that's where blessing is found. So what's the place of persecution? Well, it's an expectation. That's the place of persecution in the lives of Christians. It's an expectation. Paul writes to Timothy and he says this, "Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." Peace Church, we are not called to be just like the world. We are called to be just like Jesus. We are not called to be radicals. We're called to be righteous. We're not called to be do-gooders for goodness' sake. We're called to be different for Jesus' sake. And so when there is no persecution, when we don't feel it around us, I'm left to guess at two reasons why. Two reasons why I don't think we are experiencing persecution. Number one, it's because we're not righteous. We're not righteous people. We're good people. And we're trying to hide behind a mask of goodness so that, A, we don't sin, B, so the world will still like us, and C, so that we'll avoid persecution. We're not experiencing persecution because we're not righteous people. We're just good people. A second reason why I think there may be no persecution is this. The devil is keeping it from us because he knows a season of persecution will stimulate the church into action. The early church father, Tertullian, who wrote in 197 AD, so nearly 2,000 years ago, he wrote this famous quote. He said, "The blood of the martyrs," if you hit the next one, Brooke, "the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church." See, this is 197 when Tertullian wrote this. And what he was doing was he was writing in response to the rapid growth of Christianity under the absolutely horrendous and gruesome persecution of the Romans in the first three centuries. And so I think for many Christians, it's a common notion to think that persecution grows the church, but does it? See, since Tertullian wrote in 197, we've had 2,000 years of church history to process this. And with 2,000 years of history to learn from, more than growing the church, I would say that we've seen persecution do two other, even better things. Actually, three things. Number one, it focuses the church. See, when you are being persecuted, you have to come face to face with what is most important in your life or what should be most important. And if you're a Christ follower, that's living for Jesus. So it focuses the church. It reminds us of what should be first in our lives. Second, it purifies the church. And thirdly, it unifies the church. So it focuses, it purifies, and it unifies. It purifies the church. Because as Jesus said, those whose faith is in the rocky soil, they'll end up leaving. And it unifies the church because it forces those who are truly faithful to band together. And when the church is more focused, when the church is more pure, and when the church is more unified, well, that's a stronger church. And a stronger church will grow faster, further, farther. And wider. So when there is no persecution, it could be because the devil, listen here, it could be because the devil is trying to keep us comfortable. And the church was never meant to be comfortable. So examine your heart. What most concerns you? See, if you're most concerned about the color of the carpet, or are you most concerned about the condition of our community? If you're most concerned about the color of the carpet, then you are simply just way too comfortable. But if you are concerned mostly about the condition of our community and the cause of Christ, well, that's a conviction that will make change. See, earlier in the Beatitudes, Jesus says in verse 6, he says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." We are not meant to be satisfied with goodness. We are not meant to be satisfied by being good people. We are meant to be satisfied with righteousness. Tell me if you've heard this phrase before. It's often said that if the devil can't make you bad, he will make you... Nobody knows? If the devil can't make you bad, he will make you busy. He will distract you. But let me add this one to the mix. The devil will keep you comfortable to keep you from being committed. The devil will keep you comfortable to keep you from being committed. Far too many Christians are too comfortable with missing church simply because they're tired. Far too many Christians are too comfortable with gossiping about the church rather than giving to the church. Far too many Christians are too comfortable with our neighbors going to hell if it saves us from an awkward conversation. Far too many Christians are too comfortable with keeping their houses full and their churches empty. Far too many Christians are too comfortable. We were never meant to be comfortable. When was the last time a person stood up here and was baptized because you shared the gospel with them? Jesus said, anyone who wants to follow him is supposed to follow him while carrying an old, rugged cross on their back. He promises us it is going to hurt at times. So when was the last time you hurt while following Jesus? Which leads to the second point. Brooke, if you could go there. The pain of persecution experienced by Christians. Verse 11 says, blessed are you when others revile you, when they persecute you, and when they utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on the account of Jesus. Here, Jesus is telling us the different ways that we will suffer for his name. We'll experience hate, we'll experience hurt, and we'll experience slander. People will lie about us. Persecution isn't always being killed for your faith. It's not always being martyred. It could be, as one commentator put it, losing our jobs because we're Christians. It could be the humiliation that people put us through when we enter a room because of our biblical beliefs. It could be the gossip and the slander behind our backs in an attempt to marginalize our influence. And this is painful, right? Like, we're not meant to desire persecution. Nobody wants it. Nobody enjoys it. We're called to live in harmony with the world around us. But I would venture to say, based on a lot of people that I know, including myself, I think one of the hardest parts about persecution is that we are not supposed to fight back. We want to. There's something in our nature. We defend our rights, right? I mean, we want to fight back, but Scripture's clear. That's not what Christians do. Romans chapter 12, verses 14 to 21 says this. It says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is really difficult stuff. This is really hard stuff. Now, I'm not saying that if a person came in here with a gun to shoot us all up, that we just sit here and take the bullets. I'm telling you right now, at Peace Church, that would not go well for that person. But I am saying that when we engage in the world, we bless those who persecute us. See, Peace Church, we don't win souls by winning the fight. We win souls by winning hearts. Do not retaliate when persecution comes. Do not feel resentment to those who are persecuting you. They are lost. They don't know our Jesus, and they don't understand what drives us. And so we must receive it as a blessing. But many of us are not receiving persecution at all. So why is Christianity declining in the USA? I really encourage you to check out Open Doors. It's a great ministry online. But according to Open Doors, Christian persecution in Iran is rated as extreme. And yet Iran is at the top of the Christian growth charts with 6% Christian growth a year. Listen to this. Christians in Iran, this is very sobering and humbling to me. Christians in Iran are forbidden from sharing their faith with non-Christians. Consequently, church services in Persian, which is Iran's national language, church services in Persian are not allowed. Converts from Islam face persecution if they convert from Islam, and they will face persecution from the government. If they attend an underground house church, they face the constant threat of arrest. Iranian society is governed by Islamic law, which means that the rights and the professional possibilities for Christians are heavily restricted. By all accounts, the government has their hand around the faith of Christians in Iran, but yet it still grows. And it's because the Iranian Christians are constantly reminded of what American Christians constantly forget. That the pain of persecution helps to remind us that our faith is meant to be costly. Our salvation is free, attained by Jesus through his sacrificial death on the cross, atoning for our sins. Our salvation is God's free grace given to us freely, but our faith is meant to cost us something. Too many people, they like a free trip to heaven, but they want their journey on earth to be smooth. And it's because their faith has taken root in the rocky soil. And as soon as persecution comes, their faith will go. Take China, for example, where Christian persecution is rated at very high. China is another place that is experiencing Christianity, where the growth of Christianity is exploding. With 7% growth a year, China has a population of nearly 1.5 billion. So that's a lot of souls coming to Christ every single year. Listen to what Open Doors says about China. It says, the management of religious affairs in China lies within the Communist Party now, not just with the government. Crackdowns against Christians happen countrywide in both state-approved and non-registered churches. Non-registered churches meaning underground churches. The youth of China are increasingly being removed from church life. Worship is monitored via closed-circuit television and monitored by spies. And teachers and medical workers are told that they are not allowed to have any religious affiliation in China. Yet in the midst of this, China is seeing 100 million people come to Christ every single year. But in the U.S., where we are free, Christianity is shrinking. And I know I've been critical of comfortable Christians here, but I will tell you, preaching has a lot to do with it too. Too many Christians across this country are listening to preachers who never give the full truth, who will never talk about the persecution, who will never talk about taking up your cross. They'll try to keep Christianity a comfortable thing so that more people feel safe to come. It was not meant to be safe. It was not meant to be comfortable. Too many pastors are not declaring God's full truth. So if you want to know why Christianity is on the massive rise in China, I think it has to do with their preaching. In fact, I'm going to show you a clip of some Chinese preaching right now. I'm going to warn you, he speaks fast. The subtitles are below, so do your best to try to follow along. But go ahead and roll tape. 为什么你仍然停留在谎言里面？为什么你仍然停留在污秽的那一切的恶毒里面？因为你怕受逼迫，因为你不以为受逼迫是上帝的祝福。因为神说了，背起十字架来跟从我的，在今生失去舍弃这个万物的百物的。
无不要在今生怎么样得百倍，在将来还要得永生的。那在今生得百倍是什么？其中主耶稣讲的一个很重要的就是还要守逾末，在那一个祝福的清单里面的就是这个世界对我们的逼迫。所以让我这样讲，保罗对我们的教导是什么？邦有道，要说诚实话，要做正直人，要说造就人的话，邦有不道也要说诚实话，也要行事说话一样的勇敢而正直。阿门。没有逼迫我们怎么传福音？逼迫来了我们照样传。
That is Pastor Wang Yi from Early Rain Covenant Church. When we are not being persecuted, we spread the gospel. When persecution comes, we continue spreading the gospel. That clip was from September 2018. That December, Pastor Yi and his wife were arrested on charges of inciting subversion of state power. 100 of their church members were also arrested. 6 months later, his wife was released, but Pastor Yi is still in jail. And yesterday it was announced that the government has excused the lawyers that Pastor Yi himself hired, and the government is now appointing their own lawyers to defend him. I encourage you to go on their Facebook page and follow the page, pray for Early Rain Covenant Church, and to pray for Pastor Yi. That's their profile picture that's up there. Also, I would say, as a Christian people, and particularly as a denomination, we are still mindful of Pastor Andrew Brunson from our own denomination, the Evangelical Presbyterian Church. And we are mindful of his incarceration in Turkey that lasted 2 frightening years until he was finally released. Christianity is the most persecuted religion on planet Earth. But we are too busy watching Netflix to notice. Over the last 100 years, 2/3 of Christians in the Middle East have either been displaced or martyred. But we're too comfortable to take notice. But in the pain of persecution, we are also given a promise. Number 3, the promise of persecution given by Jesus. Verse 12 says, "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Now there are a number of things that we must remember when persecution comes, but let me just give two things right now. We have to remember the promise of great reward and the promise of great company. Our reward is great. Not only does Jesus say that those who are persecuted will be blessed and who will inherit the kingdom of heaven, Jesus also notes one of the most mysterious and misunderstood notions about heaven: rewards. In heaven, there will be no loss and there will be no lack, but the Bible is clear that there will be rewards. Salvation is not earned, but our godly efforts will be rewarded. And those who experience persecution and those who remain faithful will have a great reward in heaven. I don't know what it is, but I want it. If heaven is offering a reward, I want it. And you can be rest assured that whatever persecution we face will be entirely worth it. We're also reminded that our company is great, that we have the promise of great company when we are persecuted. I would say, in addition to the fear of being killed, I think one of the hardest things about persecution is the feeling of isolation and the feeling of embarrassment that would come with it. The rejection from our culture, the labels that we would get, the rejection from our peers, the feeling of being humiliated. But Jesus reminded us, "For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." We are not alone. Not only are we in the company of great prophets who were persecuted before, but we also have the church. And this is why it is so important for Christians to be connected to a church, to be in part of a church, because when persecution comes, we need each other. Jesus reminds us that we'll also have the Holy Spirit. In Luke 12, he says, And when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, Jesus is saying, and when you are persecuted, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what to say. Jesus is saying, don't worry about persecution. When it comes, the Spirit will be with you. Don't try to prepare what you're going to say beforehand. Just let the Spirit speak through you in that moment because he will be with you. We will have the Holy Spirit with us. And Jesus himself makes another promise. We've been in the book of Matthew all summer long. If you don't have to right now, but if you jump to the very last line of the book of Matthew, Jesus says this, and behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Peace Church, I can't say how or when persecution will come. I can just say what Scripture says, and it says that we can expect it if we pursue righteousness. And I would say that the longer we stay comfortable, the more ineffective we'll be, and the sooner persecution will come. So until then, pursue righteousness, pursue Christ, and when persecution does come, remember, it's a blessing, and God will be with you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we know and we believe that persecution is not only part of the Christian life, but it's how you bless us. Lord, we do not pray for persecution. We don't yearn for it. We don't desire it. We only ask that you'll be with us when it comes. And I pray for the people here that their faith will not be rooted in the rocky soil, but will be planted in the good soil, that our lives may produce crops of glory, and that we would see many souls come to Christ. And Lord, we pray these things in the name of the most precious and the most perfect and the most powerful Savior that there is. It's in the name of Jesus we pray these things. And all of God's people said very firmly, Amen. Amen.